The BBC and other portals had this story, including the Guardian newspaper. Tech billionaire Elon Musk has presented the latest prototype of a humanoid robot being developed by Tesla, his company. Optimus appeared on stage at a Silicon Valley event. The CEO said the robot was work in progress, but could be on sale to the public in a few years' time. And I actually heard the cost of it being something similar, potentially, to the cost of a top, not the kind of car that I could afford, but, you know, top-end car, apparently. Tesla's mass-market robots will be tested by working jobs in the car factories to see if they can do it, if they can hack it. Not everybody was impressed, it has to be said, with this launch. And I read that the financial markets were not entirely thrilled with it. But I was quite impressed. It doesn't take much to impress me. Let's get on a man. Let's get on a man who could talk around this and whether this is a mile marker in home robotics. Fevzi Turkop, the gadget detective, is here. Fevzi, thank you for doing this. How are you keeping?
Absolute pleasure. I'm well, thank you.
So I think we've got the pictures from this launch, which Mr. Musk, of course, touted as being a big thing. What did you make of it?
Well, I mean, it's very clearly a prototype. It had to be wheeled onto the stage, which tells us about where it's up to. So he's saying within 3 to 5 years it will be a commercially available product, hopefully for less than $20,000 price, which, as you say, is the price of a sort of a fairly high end family car. I think that there are two areas that have to be addressed, both of which there's a lot of research to be done on yet. One is the artificial intelligence within the device to give it some form of general intelligence, so that there are lots of gadgets in our homes already that do one job reasonably well, things like robotic vacuum cleaners, those things that look like thick crust pizzas that sort of alarm your cat as they trundle around the house. You know, those sorts of robots that do one thing and do it well, they're fairly easy to make, relatively speaking. But getting a robot that has the intelligence to take a delivery from the door, unpack it, cook it if it's food, you know, that sort of thing is much, much harder. So in 3 to 5 years, my prediction is that he may well have a product, you know, but it won't be a all singing, all dancing, you know, robot that can do everything that a human being can do. It just won't be that in 3 to 5 years, but it will probably be something that's interesting enough to buy still.
And was that robot that we saw there at the launch, was it actually reacting to its environment? In other words, the steps it was taking that looked a bit shaky to me, you know, were they being taken in response to what it was sensing beneath its robotic feet?
Yeah, so absolutely. I mean, walking is an incredibly difficult, you know, walking on two legs, 2 feet, is very, very difficult. It involves feedback from each of the feet. It involves gyroscopic corrections. You know, you'll have seen robots on YouTube, you know, when they're walking along and a human being pushes it and then it sort of rights itself. That sort of thing, it requires a lot of processing power and the right algorithms and the right hardware. So, yes, but you know, to have a robot in the home, it's one thing having it in a factory, that's hard enough. To have it in a home where there are humans, children, pets, and to make sure that it is safe and it will not accidentally crush, kill, destroy, is actually quite difficult. It's difficult to achieve. You have to make sure it's safe, just as it's hard to make a car that's safe to drive around. And don't forget, Tesla is a robotics company. The self-driving cars are robots on wheels. And they have struggled for years to make those safe. And even now we see stories about them, getting involved in accidents and so forth. So there's a lot of work to do in the 3 to 5 year timescale. But having said that, Elon Musk is a doer, amongst other things. And, if anyone could bring it to market within 5 years, it's probably him.
Thinking about the downsides of robotics, I noticed that Boston Dynamics, which is a big AI company, they signed an open letter along with a bunch of other companies, I believe, pledging not to support weaponization of their robots or their software. In other words, to have no truck with anybody who decides to give a robot like the one we've just seen a gun. That sounds good. I don't know how practical that is when the military will probably be clamoring to develop exactly that technology.
Yeah, so this is the analogue of Oppenheimer and his mates saying we're developing this nuclear technology, but you're not to put it in bombs. Is that all right with you? Yeah, that's not going to happen. There are two main drivers for AI and robotics. One is commerce, that you need to develop it because your competitors are developing it. And if you have it in 10 years' time, if you've still got drivers in your minicabs, then you're probably going to be out of business. And the other is military. And just imagine how different the war between Russia and Ukraine would be looking now if Putin, instead of having to mobilize hundreds of thousands of his citizens, could mobilize hundreds of thousands of robots. Who cares when the robots are blown to pieces? And the other problem, so there's been attempts at a moratorium on this sort of research and development, but even America has been vetoing that sort of thing. So I just don't see that happening, because it's like a nuclear arms race. You've got a robotics and AI arms race going on.
And whatever they might say, somebody's going to break ranks, aren't they? That's the thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, European Union put down something last year saying, you know, we don't want AI to have the kill decision. Yeah, so the decision to identify an opponent and take the decision on its own to kill it. Well, that's fine, but the EU's enemies will have robots that do that. And therefore, unfortunately, until there can be sort of verifiable, just the analog to this is nuclear arms race, right? You have to have verifiable agreements, and we're nowhere near that now.
But interesting, Febzy, they're flagging up the issue. Just finally, and on a completely different tack here, something that affects all of us, really, an ad and tracker-free search engine in the UK, France and Germany. I didn't read much about this week. Launched a couple of days ago, Thursday. It's called Neva. It's doing reasonably well in America, I think. What do you know about this? I mean, how can, for a start off, it sounds good news to me, but, you know, I'm not a company trying to make money out of it. How could anybody make money out of an ad and tracker-free search engine?
Well, it could carry advertising, but the advertising wouldn't necessarily need to be targeted in the same way. The guy who's come up with this, and by the way, it launched in America last year, and they've got, I think, 600,000 active users now. So you know, that's not Google territory, but it's not nothing either. He used to work for Google. He was in charge of their ads department for some years. So he kind of knows. He said, and he can say it now, having exploited people, he says what Google is doing is exploitative, which is kind of interesting given that it was his job to exploit us. But there is a market for this. I mean, the browser DuckDuckGo has been improving both technically but also in terms of market share. And I think another player in this space is good, and it will put pressure on Google to behave itself. But unfortunately, Google's whole business model is predicated upon invading our privacy, and therefore it really needs that business model to be outlawed and forced to take a new one.
Well, we'll see. I'm going to give this thing a check out during the week and maybe report back next week. Febzy Turkup, the Gadget Detective, thank you for helping us.
Pleasure.
Have a good night. Febzy Turkup, check him out online. He is officially the Gadget Detective.